Techonomics on KGO 810. It's time to have the talk with your kids. You know, the big one about money. A best-selling author joins Techonomics host Jason Middleton to discuss the different stages of financial literacy for children from kindergarten through college age. And that chat starts now.
Hi there, and thanks for checking us out. As a parent, it's that awkward talk, the one that just kind of hangs there. Who's going to initiate it? Will it be an innocent, blurted out question in front of a group of people? Maybe a mistaken, misguided peek at someone else's email? It's children and how to handle money. They grow up so fast, don't they? New research shows that preschoolers can understand basic money concepts, and a study from Cambridge University confirms that basic money habits are formed by the age of seven. Seven. A best-selling author is back to share with parents the best practices when it comes to helping children understand that concept of money, not the math so much, but the value behind the currency.
Beth Kobliner, and I'm author of the book Make Your Kid a Money Genius, Even If You're Not.
I do want to get kind of in the weeds on your practices and policies that you've pulled out there, your best practices, if you will.
Yes.
But what about the kids? Were they test cases for you? Did you find some stuff stuck and some stuff didn't?
Well, one stuck in a, you know, crate, and we give them carrots once a week. No. I think being a mother, being a parent is something that when you experience it, it's hard to explain. There are always things you're thinking about and issues. And I think money was one of those that I noticed a lot of my friends, whether my kids were little on the playgrounds or in classrooms or now in college, parents were telling me, we don't know how to talk about this topic. We know how to talk about sex and drugs and alcohol. But when it comes to money, people, you know, surveys show people don't know how to talk to kids about it.
Interesting. So you are definitely, you found some white space there and you're filling the gap.
Yeah.
And I noticed that when I took your book home to do a little bit of pre-interview research, my 7.5, almost 8-year-old daughter came in and was like, hey, I'm in between the 5-year-old that's on the book cover and the 9-year-old book cover.
Oh.
And it goes up 13, 17, 23. You're kind of showing how, you know, when we do, when the kids get taller, we mark them against
that
the wall.
Growth chart.
That's on the cover of your book. I'm just trying to paint a picture with words. Is it okay if she kind of picks it up and just starts leafing through?
Absolutely. There's nothing, you know, that she shouldn't see in there. And I feel like really it was a book that I wrote for parents to learn about money for their kids. But what most parents are telling me, you know what, I'm pretending I'm reading it for my kid, but really I'm learning the basics of inflation and compound interest and what exactly is a Roth IRA. And it explains it very clearly in age-appropriate ways. So for your daughter, she's in that perfect spot of 8 years old. That's a great time to talk about, you know, how to save up for a goal. And even you could start talking about the magic of compound interest or how never to get into credit card debt.
Right.
And I think those kind of lessons, you know, whether they come in up in everyday life or you read a part and say, hey, you know, check this out, because it's sort of a fun book. It doesn't look scary. And I think a lot of people, a lot of grownups think money's really scary. Kids think money's cool. They're like interested in knowing it.
That's a great
point. Also gives you good subject matter to discuss with your little kid. You know, sometimes you're like, how's school? It's okay. And that's it. So
right.
This is talking about, hey, I'm going to go buy a car. Want to come? And, you know, by the way, the car cost $20,000, but maybe we could negotiate. And all those discussions become interesting to them.
Yeah. And you mentioned the magic of compound interest.
Right.
I've always called it the miracle of compound interest.
Yeah.
And speaking of test cases, I hope she does learn from me about credit card debt, because I finally am out from underneath all that.
Good.
It's about 10 years ago, but still, it took me a while to dig out.
Yeah.
Beth, I started with the daughter. I'm going to stay on that theme for a second, okay?
Sure.
I started with her just because it's my only daughter, right?
Uh-huh.
So we had a savings jar,
mm-hmm.
we had a spending jar,
right.
and we had a giving jar.
Exactly.
So what's the next step past that?
So once you do that, did you have a bank account?
Not yet.
Okay, so go to the bank. And that's something, did you have a passbook savings account when you were younger?
I did, but I think I was 10.
Yeah, so I would say, exactly. So you can, you know, if she seems interested and sounds like you've been doing a lot on this, then you can say, we're going to go to the bank and open a bank account. And, you know, of course, we know interest rates are so low right now. But even the idea of doing this and saying, you know what, we're going to get a little free extra money called interest. And we're going to get that from the bank, which is kind of cool. And, you know, if she's even a little older, maybe she gets really interested in this, you could transfer to an online bank that maybe pays 1%. But the point here is just having that concrete experience of We're putting money in the bank. We're saving some of that. If you have something you really want to buy, we can get the money when you want to, but otherwise we can just keep it there.
I was thinking at the grocery store the other day, she asked me why I did not use my Apple Pay to get out. Mm-hmm. Is that something that we should be watching out for as parents?
Well, I think that was my biggest takeaway. It's been a 15-city book tour. And the one thing that really became concrete, which I knew about before the book, but hearing people all over the country say it, kids don't see cash. Kids don't understand cash. And there are a couple of problems with that. First off, we know from MIT, they did a study and found that when people use credit cards or even debit cards, any kind of plastic, they spend twice as much than they do with cash. It's just, you know, it feels like whether it's, it feels like plain money or you're just not paying attention to it much. And so that's one problem. Two, for little kids, you're not learning coins. You're not counting. How do you make change? You know, basic things like that that are part of our everyday life, they're not, or used to be, are not seeing. And I think that's a problem because they think it's magic. Mm-hmm. Money's magic. And my favorite story in my book was a mom went to Target with her son and she pulled out a $20 bill. And he's like, Mom, don't pay for it. Use the card.
Oh, you know, my.
Use the card. And I think most kids don't really get it. You know, there are buttons to press and you get whatever you want. And they don't see us going into the bank. That's why opening a bank account is good because they don't see you putting money in a bank or withdrawing money from the bank. Mm-hmm. It's all online. We buy online. And I think cash should come back. This is my movement. Bring back cash, at least for younger kids, so they understand what's going on.
Let's fast forward 10 years, and I'm getting ready to push her into college. I think you said at the top of the interview, you have a college-age child as well.
Yes.
What's the topic right there that needs to be addressed?
The number one thing, and this is a great thing because San Francisco, your treasurer, Cisneros, came up with this. Basically, there are these 529 plans, and in San Francisco, when a baby is born, you get automatically a certain amount of money put into it. It's a small amount, but the city will do that. And basically, when you have one of these 529 plans, or you could just open one, you can put small amounts, I think it's $25 or $50, whenever you want to, into these accounts. And they grow tax-free for college. But here's the interesting thing. They have done a study that has found, and it's been replicated, that when you open a savings account for college for your child, and you tell your child he has money or she has money earmarked for college, that kid is 7 times more likely to go to college, regardless of how much money you have in that account. So just that idea of I have an account for college for you, and just keeping that, you know, narration going, that's a really powerful way to get your kid to go on to college. And you can say, and by the way, if you go to college, on average, you'll earn $300,000 to $1 million more in your lifetime. Those are messages that are important to deliver because I know we're in the land of Mark Zuckerberg around here somewhere. But, you know, yeah, he dropped out of college and he did so well. And that's sort of like a thing now.
Yeah.
But honestly, for the most people, it makes much more sense to graduate. And I talk all about how to find financial aid and how to talk about it with your kids in eighth grade. The end of eighth grade is time to start those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And figuring it out and saying, we're a team, we're a family, we're going to find a place that's affordable for you. And we're also going to find a place that you like. We're in this together. And then there are great online tools that previous administration had put in place. And they're wonderful to sort of figure out what your family will be expected to pay for college.
That's a remarkable ROI with that savings account early on.
Yeah.
You've been on this book tour for a while now.
Yeah.
What have been your takeaways from this book tour? Because those can be kind of grueling.
I want to start a movement bringing back cash for children and even for early high schoolers. The idea that I know you need a card for everything these days,
mm-hmm.
but for kids, you know, to understand the value of a dollar. Sure, certainly in high school, even in junior high school, you can get part-time jobs, a few hours here and there. The studies show you don't want to work more than 15 hours a week when you're in high school because then it starts cutting into grades. You know, some people have to do it to support their family, help out with the family. But basically, getting that money, starting to save, kids are much more protective when they say it's their own money. They start getting smarter, like, I'm not going to waste money on this. I want to save up for that. And I think that notion of you don't have to give allowance regularly. Some parents have a hard time with that. But if you do give your kid money as they get, you know, they're still little, you can say it's for this reason. You know, I think you're going to have to pay for anytime you want more. I don't know what your daughter's into, but anytime you want more Shopkins,
right.
You know, that's on you.
Right.
You have to save that money. That's on you. And then don't give in. Be consistent with that. And don't tie it to chores, too. I think that's one of the big ones. You want to keep chores separate from giving allowance.
Even if you're not, you can make your kid a money genius. Pick up Beth Koblinder's book. Beth, thank you so much for coming. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. It was really fun.
That was Beth Koblinder, author of Make Your Kid a Money Genius, Even If You're Not, A Parent's Guide for Kids 3 to 23. Ms. Koblinder's first book on finance became a bestseller. It's titled Get a Financial Life, Personal Finance in Your 20s and 30s. We have links to her books and her website at facebook.com/techonomicsradio. We also have a podcast and show page where you can find her. That's at kgoradio.com/techonomics. And this is Techonomics. I'm Jason Middleton.